Part 3, Chapter 14, Papa C. Papa C was a man who was loved by many people. Most of all, he was loved by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. He was loved by his parents, Roland Lyman Cornelius Sr. and Mary Ethel Vaughn Cornelius. He was loved by me, his wife, Arlene. And he was loved by almost everyone he met. He wasn't always called Papa C. His parents named him Roland Lyman Cornelius Jr. They called him Sonny. I called him Honey. And he said his friends called him Corny for short, but not for long. It was many years later, after we moved to the tiny island of Carriacou, Grenada, that folks began to call Roland Papa C. We had begun our life together in the country of Liberia, West Africa, working with a Christian radio station, ELWA. After 16 years with that ministry, the Lord sent us to the Caribbean to help establish a new Christian radio station, Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, on the island of Antigua. After 13 years with that work, the Lord sent us to the Windward Islands in the Southern Caribbean, to Carriacou, Grenada. It was God's purpose for us to help establish another Christian radio station, Harbor Light of the Windwards. By that time, we were in our 50s and had become grandparents. As we became acquainted with many of the Christians on both the main island, Grenada, and on Carriacou Island, we became good friends and enjoyed sweet fellowship with them. One young Christian businessman often stayed with us when he came from Grenada to do business in Carriacou. He and some of the local Christians regarded us fondly as their parents and began to call us Papa C and Mama C. Roland made many trips to town on business, and he became acquainted with many of the local people who were known for their friendliness and helpfulness. They enjoyed him, and they began to call him Papa C. Roland worked very hard toward building Harbor Light, especially at the beginning before anyone else had come to Carriacou to help. While gathering construction materials, he ordered 100 bags of cement. The truck driver helped him remove the bags from the truck, but did not stay to help put them inside where they would be safe from the weather. Roland was carrying each 100-pound bag one by one into the lower level of the house. I knew it was an impossible job for him to accomplish alone, so I set off walking through the village to find someone to help him. It seemed all of the able-bodied men were gone to other parts of the island. The only man I found was drunk. I did not know what else to do, so I begged him to come and help. He did what he could, but he was not able to help very long. Roland continued to work like that until our son Randy, along with his wife Charlene and their little one-year-old, arrived to lend a hand. Roland suffered from injured vertebrae in his neck and back from earlier activities, which were compounded by the strenuous construction of Harbor Light. We praise the Lord for the teams of men who came from churches in the USA to help from time to time. But Roland's condition continued to deteriorate. He finally had to return to the USA and have surgery on his neck to repair the injured vertebrae. He had other physical problems as well. In 1995, he had a stroke, and we had to return to the USA for a couple of months of rest and recuperation. In December of 1996, we decided we should take some time off and visit our other two sons and their families on the islands of Dominica and Antigua. Roland enjoyed riding around Antigua with our youngest son, Jonathan, a paramedic, as he dealt with medical emergencies. We had a good time spending Christmas with Jonathan and his wife, Becky. After Christmas, we flew to the island of Dominica to see our son Tony, his wife Martha, and our grandchildren there. Roland had a grand time playing with the children and teasing them to death. They loved every minute of it. They called him Pop Pop. All this activity wore us out, and we looked forward to a week of complete rest on the tiny Grenadine island of Bequi, just off the coast of St. Vincent, before heading back to our home on Caracou, which is also in the Grenadines. The Grenadines are a chain of beautiful small islands, larger islands of St. Vincent and Grenada. The small 8-passenger plane landed on a tiny airstrip on the edge of Bequi Island, with the sea on one side and a steep hillside on the other side. Several men from the little gospel hall called the Wayside Chapel met us as we landed. They loaded us and our baggage into a small vehicle and told Roland, "We announced a week of special meetings at the church this week with you as a speaker." Both our hearts sank. We were very much in need of rest, especially Roland. He was not physically able to hold a week of meetings in their church. It was a tradition for a visiting brother to preach to the little gospel halls in the Caribbean. Roland begged off, explaining he had a stroke recently and was not able to preach for a week, but he agreed to preach for the Sunday morning service. We stayed on Bequi Island with a sweet Christian lady who was a faithful listener to Harbor Light. She was extremely gracious, but the week did not turn out to be a restful time. A couple from the church was anxious to take us sightseeing around the island every day and take us to the local restaurants. We enjoyed their fellowship, but did not get much rest. At the end of the week, the small plane picked us up and flew us to the southern end of this chain of Grenadine Islands and to our home on the 13-square-mile island of Caracou. A pile of mail was waiting for Roland, and he spent the next couple of weeks answering some wonderful letters from our listeners. As he opened one letter, Roland wrote, "I just opened this letter from a listener in the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, dated the 23rd of January, 1997. Dear friends at Harbor Light," the letter said, "1996 has been my most eventful year. It was early in that year, while trying to get acquainted with the new stereo my son had given me for my Christmas 1995, when I stumbled on your station and have been listening to it since. I was around Christ for as far back as I can remember, having been brought up in Sunday school and served in all the offices of the church. But I never touched the Savior until I started listening to your programs, and praise God, I was born again. Here was a lady who thought she was saved. She was around Christ for a long time, but never touched the Savior until she stumbled on Harbor Light and heard the truth of the word from our faithful broadcasters. Now she has been born again by the Spirit of God. Near Christ, as she discovered, was not enough. She had to be in Christ." Roland happily answered this lady's letter, as well as many other letters from our listeners. At last, one day, he announced to me he had answered all of the letters and his desk was clean. There was just one letter left on his desk which he wanted me to read before he mailed it. In between letter writing and other duties at the radio station, Roland was busy with some special carpentry projects in the workshop. He had an order to fill for our 8-year-old granddaughter, Caroline, Randy and Charlene's oldest daughter. He had already made a play kitchen for her, complete with wooden stove, sink, and refrigerator, including wooden ice trays. Now she said she needed Papa C to make her a dollhouse, just the right size for a little doll she owned. We decided our other grandchildren should not be left out, so he was making a similar dollhouse for Tony's children. He had already made a dollhouse for Becky and Keith's girls. He enjoyed this kind of project and worked hard to make the dollhouse special, with tiny wooden shingles on the roof and circular staircases going up to the second story. When he finished the carpentry, he brought them home, planning to paint them and glue carpet on the floors. I noticed my honey looked especially tired that day. When I offered to drive home, he insisted he was all right and he could drive. A few nights before, he had complained about a severe headache in the back of his neck and talked about visiting the doctor, but he never went. He woke me up early the next morning and seemed to be okay. Randy came and joined him on our porch, overlooking the Caribbean Sea, the airport, and the little town of Hillsborough. I'll let Randy tell about that morning. Randy said the day started very typically. My dad and I met on his porch early in the morning for our personal devotions. We often talked of spiritual things, thoughts on our Bible reading, or things for which we were praying. I left a little later than usual because of our conversation. It was Grenada's Independence Day, February 7, 1997. When we had a holiday on the island, our family usually worked the shifts at the radio station so the rest of the staff could have the day off. I planned to go to the station with Randy that morning and stay to work the afternoon shift so Roland would have the vehicle to come for his evening shift. He planned to stay home the rest of the day and work on the little dollhouses. After Randy left, my honey and I had breakfast together. Roland usually ate very fast and left me at the table to finish my breakfast, but it was different this morning. He ate very slowly and did not finish the food. I asked if he was all right, and he said he was okay. A little later, I received a phone call from one of the elders of the Gospel Hall. He said, "Mama C., will you sing a solo at our banquet tonight?" "Oh, I was planning to work the announcing shift at the Harbor Light for a while tonight, so Papa C could go to the banquet. He usually works when we have that, and he misses it." "Well, tell him he can sing for us instead," I chuckled. "He says the only way he would sing would be if he could sing with a choir of 10,000. The elder laughed. "Then tell him he can sing with the angels tomorrow." My heart skipped a beat as I said, "I will tell him what you said." When I told Rowan what the elders said, he seriously replied, "Did he really say that?" As I washed the dishes and prepared to go to the radio station with Randy, I had a chat with the Lord. "Lord, should I stay home with my honey today instead of going to the Harbor Light?" The Lord said, "No, you go. This is between my child and me." Randy takes up the story from there. A little later on, my mom and I went to the station, where I worked the control board until 1 p.m. My mom took over at 1 p.m., and I left for home and lunch. I decided to stay home for the afternoon to help my wife, Charlene, with chores and the baby. About 5 p.m., my mom called to say my dad had not come to work and was not answering the phone. She asked if I would go see if he was home. I rode up the road to their house right away. When I reached the house, the kitchen door was open and the radio was playing. I called for Dad, but there was no answer. I went in the house calling. No answer. I knocked on his bedroom door. I could hear the radio playing, so I knocked louder. When I received no answer, I opened the door and saw him lying on the bed like he was taking a nap. I knew immediately the Lord had called him home to heaven. However, I went over to him, called him, no answer, touched him, but his body was cold. It was true. He was in the presence of the Lord, whom he loved and served. I wept on his chest. I would miss him. What would I tell my mom? I did not need for Randy to tell me what happened, because the Lord had already told me while I sat in front of the control board as one of the programs was playing. I said to the Lord, "You have taken him home, haven't you, Lord?" In his grace and love, he had prepared me for this moment earlier in the day. Randy continued, "My parents were married and served the Lord in West Africa at a missionary radio station for 16 years. There, all four of us children, my two brothers, Tony and Jonathan, sister Becky, and I were born. In the early 1970s, we moved to the West Indies, where the Lord raised up Caribbean Radio Lighthouse on Antigua. In 1988, the Lord called us, my dad and me, to Carriacou, where the Lord raised up another Christian radio station, Harbor Light of the Windwards. Dad had 41 years of faithful, fervent, and fruitful service in missionary radio. We had a Thanksgiving and praise memorial service for his life and service for the Lord, as well as a fifth anniversary celebration for Harbor Light on Thursday, February 13th. Following the service, we placed his body in Grand Bay Cemetery in Carriacou in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. It was a tradition on Carriacou for friends and loved ones to stay with the bereaved the first night after a loved one died to give them comfort. Some of the ladies from Gospel Hall came to be with me and to offer me the love and comfort the night the Lord took my honey home. I appreciated their love and thoughtfulness very much, but I mostly needed the Lord himself to comfort me. I told them I would be all right, and they would not need to stay with me. I told them I wanted to be alone with my Lord. No one can give sweet comfort and peace like our dear Lord Jesus. I spent many hours the next few weeks searching for verses in the Bible dealing with comfort and God's presence. Why did God take my honey away from me? I found one answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. He allows trials in our lives so we can experience His loving comfort and be able to encourage others with that comfort when they go through trials. Why did God take my dear husband away and leave me as a widow? I found the answer in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4 and 5. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. He is a sweeter husband to me than any earthly husband could ever be. He drew me close to himself, and I found myself talking to him about every detail of my life, even though those verses have the primary application to the nation of Israel. I believe the Lord intends for us as individual widows to find comfort in his promise to Israel and to us personally. As I thought about the joys my honey was experiencing in the presence of his dear Lord, this poem and song was a great blessing and comfort to me. Finally home. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home, finally home. When I returned to the USA to fulfill the furlough Roland and I had planned to take that year, the Lord gave me further sweet comfort through Christian friends. Mrs. Jessie Boyd of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, met me after one of the services and told me, "My dear, the Lord Jesus takes special care of widows." That was a great blessing and encouragement to me. I was especially dependent on the Lord during that furlough as I visited our supporting churches in the Midwest and the Southeast. I had never driven more than 100 miles alone before, but my Savior was with me and sustained me, even when I was frightened and nervous as I drove thousands of miles alone. What a faithful husband he is. Less than a year before the Lord took Roland home, he had comforting words for a dear listener who had lost her husband. He wrote, "The loss of a loved one, especially a life's partner, is a very grievous thing. If he knew the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we are still human. We are still in these bodies of clay. We sorrow not as others who have no hope, but we do sorrow. God understands. God knows best. He does all things well. I'm praying that the God of all comfort will wonderfully comfort you, so that you will be able to comfort other ladies who lose their mates or other family members." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 are for you. Someone said, "It is amazing to see what God can do with a broken heart if you give him all the pieces." As Roland comforted that dear friend, I am also comforted by the Lord. His word became dearer to me than ever before. As the Lord spoke to me through his word, I listed the scriptures that became my comfort and joy. We can be sure God keeps his promises and has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. but his promises are only for those who belong to him. If you have never repented of your sins and surrendered your life to the Lord, now is the time to do that. Then you will be his child, and he will be your comfort and joy, and you will live with him forever. See John 3:16 and Romans chapter 10, verses 10 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord. He is coming again and will bring our saved loved ones with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18.